Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Women's Bible Study. We have Megan with us in Vermont. Hello, Megan.
Hello, all.
And Ann and Karen and myself here at Grace Ranch.
Hello, everyone.
Good evening, everybody. So tonight, and lest I forget, next week being Thanksgiving Eve, we will not have a Bible study. So I hope you all have a pleasant and safe Thanksgiving. Tonight we're going to finish up the gifts of the Spirit, and when we join together again, we'll start in this series, The Manifestations of Spiritual Life, Fruit of the Spirit. So tonight we're doing the last of the gifts that are outlined in 1 Corinthians 12, I believe, and it's the interpretation of tongues. So last week we spoke about tongues being utterances that are in a language unknown unto us. And now Paul in Corinthians speaks to the use of tongues and the need for interpretation when done publicly. So, Megan, would you read the first part of this study on interpretation of tongues for us? The explanation.
Sure. This is simply the supernatural ability to interpret in the native tongue what is uttered in other languages not known by the one who interprets by the Spirit.
Okay. So the tongues come from the Lord, from the Spirit, are authored by Him, and the interpretation does likewise because we don't know what they mean, what they are saying. So when it says their native language, our native language happens to be English.
Right.
And the interpretation then is given in the language that can be understood, in our case, English. So the first scripture here is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. Megan, you're our reader.
Righty-ho. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying.
So here we see that in the body, when joined together, speaking in tongues, unless there is an interpreter, is really something that you don't do. Once they are interpreted, now they can edify or build up the body. That's what that word edify really means. It's to build up. So prophecy does that. Tongues in the body does it only through interpretation.
I know we discussed this a lot last week in the Bible study and how there should be always be interpretation when tongues are spoken in the body when you're gathered together. And so this is just a
reiteration
of that confirmation.
Good word, Robin.
Obviously, I'm goofy tonight. Well, what's new? Yeah.
It's a good confirmation.
Yeah. So the next verse is in 1 Corinthians 14, it's verses 13. Through 15.
Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also.
Okay. So here you see where Paul lays it out. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. It's kind of interesting when I was going through this, how easy it is not to hear this instruction. Pray that you will interpret those tongues. Mm-hmm. Ask for that. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So praise God for that, but pray for the interpretation that your understanding, too, can it can bear fruit in your understanding. So then he goes on, what is it then? He'll do both. He'll both pray in the spirit and pray in his understanding. He'll sing in the spirit. He'll sing in the understanding. I wanted, Megan, if you would, I should have had you start on verse 12. And if you would, just read verse 12, I guess. You started on 13 before, so we're going up one verse ahead of that.
Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church.
Now this is really why, and the purpose of these gifts. I wanted her to read that. It's for the edification of the church. It's not for the edification of the person, although they are part of the church, so they too are edified. But it is the working of the body to the edification of itself.
And that includes all the spiritual gifts, not just the interpretation of tongues, not just tongues. That is, all the gifts are given for the edifying of the body.
That's exactly it. And this is really a short subject in here because the last scripture is further down in chapter 14, verses 27 and 28.
Excuse me. I didn't know I was unmuted. Would you like me to read the verses that we didn't read last week as well, or should we not?
The verses that we didn't read last week in this section start at 26 and go through 32. So you may go ahead and read them all.
Okay. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets.
Okay. 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. I wonder how often we come to church ready to minister and edify the body of Christ. Isn't that what this is about, is
yes.
Coming when we join together? I'm ready to exhort and edify one another in the truth.
That's the way it should be. There are a lot of times people go to church just to get fit.
Yeah.
They go to feel good. They don't necessarily go to serve the others in the body. They go to serve themselves. And that's the wrong attitude.
It's a very easy one, and one I think we've all done. I mean, I don't exclude myself, but we should come ready in the Lord in all things, but especially when we join together with the body to minister the hope and the truth of the gospel one to another, building each other up in the faith.
Amen.
And so then it goes on again in 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or three, or at the most by three. So here he limits speaking in tongues, really.
Yes.
It's not a free-for-all. And that by course, and let one interpret. So it's done only when there is an interpreter, and it is also done in a reasonable manner. Two, or at the most by three.
I've been in churches, Pentecostal churches, different denominations, where it's like the whole congregation was speaking in tongues at one time. There was no edifying. There was no glory brought to the Lord. And you left there, you know, and some would be leading, oh, so excited, you'd cheer everybody speaking in tongues. But that's not what it is for. That's not what God gives it to us for. And you know, I left there feeling like, why did I even bother coming?
What did you gain, right?
I wasn't edified. And I know no one else there was.
But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. And then, of course, it goes on and does gives us similar counsel about prophets. Let the prophet speak two or three and let other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. So there is an order and a respect.
Yes.
Part of that comes from obedience to the Word of God right here, where we know it and actually choose to walk in obedience to it.
Amen.
So there's a few things he said here to us tonight. One is, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Let tongues be done two or at the most three, but only when there's one to interpret.
Mm-hmm.
If you go down further in this chapter, let me see if I can find it real quickly. It's verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So this is the Word of God, and we need to hear it so that we can put it into practice. Do it.
I want to back up a second, back to 27. So if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that my course, and let one interpret. Sometimes the person who is speaking in tongues in a gathering is also the one that will interpret. Maybe there's no one else here that's hearing the Lord and will interpret. But I have seen where tongues have been spoken and the next person give the interpretation. So I don't think there has to be another, a fourth person sitting there on the side who is the interpreter. They can be the one who is speaking in tongues.
Yes. Good word, Anne. Since this was really... Oh, Megan, would you finish the description here in this study for us?
Sure. Some people wonder why the interpretation of an unknown tongue is sometimes longer than the utterance in tongues. The reason for this is that it is an interpretation, not a translation.
There you go.
Amen.
Since we have some time, and the person who had back a few weeks ago had written in a question in the chat that was missed during the Bible study, but I thought I would bring it up because it's in this chapter, and it is
verse 35.
Well, it's verses
34 and 35.
So, Megan, would you read that? And this is not on the subject of tongues. It's on the subject of women speaking in the church. So if you'd read those two verses in chapter 14 here for us.
Sure. Let the women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church.
All right.
Okay, years ago when I first came, Robin and I first came to the Lord, there was questions about this scripture. And a brother in the Lord, Warren, was also studying Greek at the time, and he researched this because it troubled him also. And he found out basically what that meant was gossiping and chit-chat. Because in the synagogue, when they went, men and the women were separated. And the women basically didn't see each other all week because they were busy with their households. So they came to church for the synagogue on, together. It was the first time they'd seen each other all week, and they'd catch up on the gossip, which was kind of disruptive for whatever the Lord was having done in the service that day. So that is where this comes from. You're not, you don't go to church to gossip with your neighbor and to catch up on things. You can do that afterwards. And if you've got a question, then go home and ask your husband what's going on. But if this was true, then we wouldn't have the women in the scriptures that do prophesy. Is it Philip Stoddard's
Philip's daughters were prophetesses.
Were prophetesses.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were prophetesses. It makes no sense if the Lord gives a woman a prophecy to give or an interpretation of tongues for her to go. He gives it for the time then. She doesn't have time to go home, give it to her husband, then he comes back the next service and gives the answer. That would never work. There was an instance in England during World War II. There was a church service going on, and this woman came in, and she sat down. And all of a sudden, she stood up, and she said, "Thus saith the Lord, everybody leave this building immediately." Now, if the pastor is one of those that I've seen out here that, oh my gosh, we can't listen to her because it's a woman, there would have been a tragedy. But he said, "Everybody out, listen to her, out." And everybody left, and right after they left the building, one of those V2 rockets or whatever that is, German rockets, hit that church and totally destroyed it. So there is a place for a woman to prophesy, to interpret tongues in a church service, but you don't go there to gossip and catch up with your friends.
Or to be disruptive just by asking questions.
Yeah.
I was going to say in the scripture, and it wasn't during a service, but Anna prophesied in the temple when Jesus was brought in.
That's right. Yeah.
So
this is not a contradiction.
Mm-mm.
You just have to discern what the word is saying.
Yeah.
I hope that was clear to the ones out there who are listening.
There's nothing in the chat that says otherwise. So does anybody have any questions on the gifts of the Spirit that Paul laid out and what this look at these, what the intent was and how they work in the church? Or do Ann, Karen, or Megan have anything to add on this section of this study?
I guess everybody has perfect understanding out there. But these are given for the body. You know, I mean, if you're out there and somebody needs healing and you have the gift of healing, praise the Lord. You know, use that gift. But these are basically given to edify the body, to build up the body, that we can go out and do the works of the Lord, whether it be miracles, healings, whatever is called for.
Yes, if you read the beginning of chapter 14, and this comes after 1 Corinthians 13, which is considered the love chapter.
Yeah.
So he continues on from that chapter, and he goes, follow after charity, but desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. And this is really what the gifts are for, prophecy obviously being the highest of that. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification. That's building up the body of Christ. It
Amen.
Edifies the body of Christ. Exhortation, that's where you exhort one another unto love and good works. Exhort one another in the faith. And every one of us at times
needed.
I mean, in a way, we need it all the time, but there's times when we really need somebody to remind us of the hope that we have in the Lord,
yes.
That of the victory, of the ability in Him, and then to comfort. And that's literally giving comfort.
Mm-hmm.
The scriptures give comfort, give hope.
I know we've said this before, but I just want to emphasize when it says charity, our definition of charity is different than what it was back in those days, or when this was when this was translated. We look at charity as giving to the poor, or giving to a hospital, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Charity is really agape love. It's agape. It's God's love. It's a love of decision. And that is what we're called to do. It's not based on feelings. It is a decision to make. And so we are to follow after God's love. We follow after the decision to love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
which looks a lot different than what we naturally consider yeah. love. In our mind, love is always making the other person feel good. Mm-hmm. In God's mind, love is what is for that person's benefit.
And this, it's just speaking the truth. You know, a lot of times you tell little white lies, but they're just lies anyway, because you don't want to hurt someone's feelings. But you could be doing that and sending someone to hell because you're not speaking the truth. If you really love someone with agape love, you will tell them the truth, even if it hurts their feelings. They may get mad at you, but so what? You may save their soul from hell.
Agape love sometimes also keeps their mouth shut.
Mm-hmm. You know, Philios also is more about you than about someone else. It's true. About you trying to make them feel good so they'll like you, which comes back to it being about you, where agape is not at all about you. It's about the other person and what they need.
Yes.
Yep, you got that right.
And that's, go ahead. I know we have, how do you know what gifts you have, or how do you go about receiving one? You know what? I would pray and ask the Lord to give you gifts, or gifts of the Spirit, or a gift of the Spirit. You can even pray and ask for what one you'd like. You can come to Davey with that desire.
Or Steve,
to receive one. But you notice, I mean, that it is something that the apostles divide out amongst a body so that in their absence, the body has all the gifts. So I'd be prayerful about asking to have a gift and to have an expectation of receiving it. But know that these gifts really, as all things, it's kind of an interesting battle that we all have to go through, really, in some ways, throughout our lives. And that is that these things aren't given to build somebody up. In fact, even as Jesus came and was a servant of all, and yet he was above all, that is the nature that we're to walk in, where we're a servant to all, which really goes back to that agape love. The agape love is the servant of another, not the servant of oneself.
These gifts are given to use for other people. They're not given to use for yourself.
Or to elevate yourself.
Yeah.
It's really what I was seeking to get to. Yeah.
That's pride. God's not going to give us a gift that's going to build our pride. So if you're looking for a gift that makes you feel more spiritual, forget it. But if you're looking for a gift to be able to use to edify the body of Christ, then the Lord is very pleased to give it to you.
You know, and I think of James, in James, where the Lord says, you know, ask, but ask believing.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty of the Lord is if we will ask and actually believe that he will answer our prayer, this would be a prayer that is in accordance with his will. Mm-hmm. Even if we ask and we're in the wrong place, part of his answer will be to get us in the right place so that we can receive it. And so with that mighty hope, ask and believe and not doubt. Because God is, that's the work God is doing in us, is cleansing our hearts so that all of his promises can be yes and amen to our benefit, not to our harm.
Amen.
He is the God of hope.
Amen.
And I guess the only other thing I'd say is when we edify, exhort, and comfort one another, it is in that hope. Faith worketh by love. Mm-hmm. And to me, that hope we have in that which God is able to perform in each of us.
Amen.
I know in the Bible study last night, at the end of it, Steve was talking about how, I think Rick may have started the conversation about how people say, you don't understand. And it was on the last two verses in Hebrews, where Jesus had been tempted in every way we are. Therefore, he understands what we go through. But they brought it then to the elders of the church, who, the reason why they're elders is because they've been tried and found faithful and true, but that trying, there have been a lot of experiences that they've had to go through to become faithful and true. So it's not like I understand everything and have been through everything Anna's been through, nor she, I, but we both had been through some stuff.
Yes.
And have a compassion when we look at other people, because we've been there, done something similar, if not the same thing, or had to pass through a similar difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And praise be to God, one of the things that was spoken is, they know it wasn't them that got it out, them out of it. They know it was the Lord.
Amen.
And that is that hope that we have to bring to each other. Mm-hmm. All the time.
The other thing is, even though you have been, you know, you may not have a sort of a personal understanding or what have you, the Lord does. And so you're able to minister to the person.
Yes, and you, one thing to watch in that is you don't have to say you understand something you don't understand or you know something you don't know.
That's right.
That is a really common thing to assume you know something. Yeah.
It's a good thing to actually, as you say, to be mindful of not doing it, because when you say something like that and, in fact, you do not understand, you almost put a discredit on whatever follows, you know?
Absolutely.
Yes.
You've kind of closed a door, and now you wonder why people didn't receive it. But, you know, you speak that which you know, that not that which you don't know. And you look to the Lord for what to say, really under any circumstance.
I've never been in your position, so I really don't have an understanding, but the Lord does.
Yeah.
And let me give you his word.
Yeah. So,
is there any other questions out there?
No. Go back and read this, that we're going to be going into the fruits of the Spirit, and this, there's a bunch of scriptures, of course, Galatians 5, but the underlined scriptures for it are 1 Corinthians 13, Ephesians 5, 9, and Philippians 4, 3. This study is on the website, so you can go in and look, and we'll look to meet again in 2 weeks.
Not sure when we're going to get back, so...
It's possible it would be 3 Wednesdays from now.
Yeah.
We'll seek to keep whoever informed as we know, but may y'all have a blessed Thanksgiving. And go back and read this and do it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, good night, everybody, and thanks for joining us. And we will see y'all later. May the Lord bless you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.